Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to another episode of Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And my guest today is, well, she was a nurse. And so I think that that could have benefited her journey a little bit, but maybe also brought in some anxiety into the situation because she kind of saw how things work in the backside of the medical community, I guess. And now she becomes a patient or a victim of the medical community and the things that we go through during our journey. So I'm super excited to welcome Demaree to the show and just excited to hear your journey and all the stuff that goes along with what we battle, right? So welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you.
So where do we start? How far back do we go? Sometimes we know and sometimes we don't. So I guess wherever your journey took a turn.
So I just want to start out by saying that, like, as a little kid, like you and I talked about before starting this, was like, I kind of always was a sick little girl. I also had a lot of anxiety, some trauma growing up as a kid. So like when I became sick with Lyme, a lot of things like made sense with how my immune system was working and how it wasn't working. But I was a nurse and in 2017, we'll back up prior to that, I've always been like a really active person. And in 2016, I remember pulling like a tick off my leg, never thought anything of it. It was like on the back of my thigh. I can or can't remember like if I actually had any like flu-like symptoms. I remember being sick, but like when you're like in this journey of Lyme disease, sometimes like the timing, you kind of get like confused on like your timeline. So I did have a tick, but I don't know if there was a rash or not. Never thought about it again, went on with my life. In 2017, I was in a car accident, got hit from behind, and I had whiplash and a concussion. And because I was on, it was during work hours, I had to follow up with like employee health. So I was diagnosed with a concussion. I had to see them kind of frequently. Again, just went back to work, like nothing ever happened. And then I started, like, from that point on, I just kind of felt like this drunk feeling, like this disconnected feeling between my brain and my body. It kind of felt like I was like floating on clouds or walking around drunk, but like the room isn't spinning like when you're drunk from alcohol. I would go from like maybe having a migraine once a month to like migraines all the time, daily. And they just kept saying like, oh, this is just a result of your concussion. You can have concussion symptoms for up to a year. I'm like, okay. In 2018, I changed jobs. I was still a nurse, but I became a director of an adult daycare center. So I had a lot of like responsibility. The job was kind of stressful in the beginning. I started noticing I was having like a migratory muscle and joint pain. I was like losing my hair. I was freezing cold all the time. Even during the summer, like I would walk around with like layers of clothes on in the summer and like heating pads and blankets. It was just like really, really bizarre. And I'm like, this has nothing to do with a concussion. Like, right. I get all the neuro symptoms maybe having to do with that, but these other things, the heart palpitations, there was like, it would just like randomly feel like I'm coming down with a flu. And like, I'd be like, well, okay, I'm going to have the flu. And then like hours later, I might be fine. Or the next day, I'm okay. And like, this would happen. And this would like migrate. Like the body pain was like, oh, in my shoulder, and then the next time it's my knee, or it's in the middle of my thigh. And this would be the kind of pain that, like, if I was talking to someone, I would, like, legit, like, flinch and, like, grab that body part. Like, it would take your breath away. It felt like someone literally had a knife and stabbed me. And, like, this went on, and just every day was the same. Swollen lymph nodes, sore throats, memory loss, like, to the point where people started noticing. Like, I already was noticing, but I kind of was like still really functional.
Faking it till you make it, right?
Yeah, fake it till you make it. Like, okay, I don't really know what's going on. So in also in 2000, well, then in 2018, I went to my doctor and I was like, something's not right. Like, employee health discharged me. They're like, we don't need to see you. Sent me to neurology. I had an MRI. Like, they said everything's normal. The flares that they saw in my MRI were just migraines. I'm like, okay. I went to my doctor in 2019 and they ran like blood work, right? They did a Lyme test, basic like inflammatory ANA, like all those types of tests. And then I was having like heart palpitations, so they did a heart monitor. Like, I was always told everything is normal. I never got into like the portals. I never got copies of my results, nothing ever.
Now, coming from a nurse, that is quite interesting. But again, did you just trust them? They
I was
just.
just trusting. Like, I love my primary care doctor. I have nothing bad to say about her even to this day. She's still my doctor. She handles me very well. Even though she never would tell me that I have Lyme or anything like that. Yeah, so I guess I just like trusted the system and I was very unfamiliar with Lyme. Like, I didn't really know much about it, right? Even but that's not something that they tested for. They don't really test patients. I think they're testing patients more now in the primary care setting because that's where I work. But back when I got sick, it was like
Yeah,
not a
it
lot of knowledge, right?
definitely right. It definitely has come a long way. I know that unless you live in kind of one of the prevalent states, right, which I believe most of them are anymore. I think if ticks are around, they're prevalent there, right?
Yeah.
But I know that a lot of times you would have to literally like beg for a Lyme test, and eyes are opening now. They're understanding it's more of a pandemic than they ever thought, and so they more are open to doing tests. But the testing that we normally get through a primary doctor is not usually accurate, more so
Right. So, like,
inaccurate.
but she opened my eyes. I had one appointment there and she like opened my eyes to something. She said, oh, well, you did have an elevated Lyme titer back in 2017. So I don't know, like I said, sometimes when symptoms began, like, or when I was at doctors, I kind of like forget. But at one time, they must have tested me and I had an elevated titer. And I was like, okay, I don't really know what that means. And while I was developing all these symptoms, I would have people say, oh, like, Demery, like, have you ever been tested for Lyme? Like, you sound exactly like this person or that person, and they had Lyme disease. And I was like, no. So from that point on, I started getting copies of everything. I started getting into the portals. I started keeping track of all my lab work, asking questions, like really, really began advocating myself for myself. I had bands 39 and 41 present and then an elevated titer, but they continued to tell me that I didn't have Lyme. So I was like, okay. Not really getting anywhere. And then in 2021, I wasn't gonna get the COVID vaccine, because I was like, oh my gosh, like we don't know much about this. But there was a lot of pressure around that time, especially in the healthcare system for medical personnel to get their COVID vaccine. And I just have always been a very, very indecisive person and never can make a decision for myself. So I like talked to some like colleagues or like people in the medical field that I trusted and they're like, yes, I got it. I've been fine. And I was like, okay, like I'm gonna have faith over fear for once in my life and I'm gonna get this COVID vaccine and we're just gonna get one and we're just gonna see like where this goes. And so in 2021, January of that year, I got my first dose of the COVID vaccine. And that is where, like, I would say the journey for me began, like, this very rapid downward spiral. I woke up the very next day. I had numbness and tingling on the left side of my body, my face. I had muscle twitching, decreased fine motor skills. Like everything went to neuro. Like all of my symptoms, I still had everything that I had before, but now I had a whole list of like neurological symptoms. And for me, I was like, oh, I can't take this back. And the day that I got the vaccine, I feel like the universe was like trying to intervene. I was a hospice nurse at the time. I was late to my appointment. I couldn't get this Foley catheter in. It was like super stressful. I feel like everything was directing me from like getting that vaccine. But then I was like, no, faith over fear. I'm going to trust the system for once. I'm going to do this. And then I went and I got it. And it was the biggest mistake of my life because
It was
I thought I was gonna die. Like it,
yeah.
Lyme over the years was slowly stripping everything from me, and then the vaccine just completely like stripped whatever was remaining from me, and then I just became a shell of a person. I would like beg my husband to take me to a state where like I could just end my life like with medical assistance. Like I was like, we need to go make funeral arrangements and pick out all of this stuff. I felt like a burden. I like was a huge like runner, exerciser before all of this, and I couldn't do any of that. I couldn't even breathe. Like I would walk from like the living room to my kitchen and have to stop and breathe. Like I couldn't even breathe. It was just so, I didn't even identify it as a sick person. I only hung out with sick people. It's like if you were healthy, I didn't want to be around you because I was like grieving the loss of myself. And like I just, when I was around people that were healthy and happy, I was like, this makes me feel worse. Like I'm never gonna be that person again. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you mean, and
Yeah.
I just want to pause here for a second because, wow, yeah, I know exactly what you feel, and for you to use the word kind of the grieving process of grieving who you are, I truly believe that part of this journey is working through the emotional side of things, and it is like going through a grieving process. Grieving who we used to be, grieving the friendships and relationships we've lost, grieving the finances we've lost. You know, some people had to move out of their home for mold, grieving, you know, there's just so many layers to this journey. But I want to back up just a little bit if I can, because I think it's so important for people to realize that I truly believe, and as well as both of my Lyme practitioners that I worked with over the years believe, that the majority of the population is infected with the Lyme pathogen. But our bodies are strong, our foundations are strong, our immunity is strong, and so we are symptom-free and can go about our life possibly forever and not have any issues. But you had just brought up two traumas to your body. The first one being the car accident, right? So that was obviously a physical trauma to your body and maybe even somewhat of an emotional trauma, right? Like depending on the severity of the accident, sometimes we feel like looking at our car, okay, we should not have survived that, right? So it could be a little bit of both types of trauma to your body. And that sounds like when the initial symptoms kind of really flared up, and then you kind of maintain them because whether you were being gaslit by the medical community or possibly gaslighting yourself, right? Like, oh, this must be from the concussion, from the accident. So we had that, and then you come up to the COVID vaccine. And there have been so many people, you know, that talk about having long haul COVID or issues after the vaccine. And I think as far as the long haul COVID goes, your immunity was kind of shut down, right? Like it was attacked because you got this cold or flu or whatever you want to call it, right? That's been around for millions of years, attacked your body, and you can't get rid of these symptoms. Well, I believe, and I've seen it over and over the years since COVID, is that these long haul COVID symptoms are actually Lyme disease, right? Like your body got shut down, the pathogens were able to take over and take charge. And because you had COVID, everything gets steered towards, oh, this is just long haul COVID. And so, but for sure, these vaccines and we could do a whole podcast on that, right? Don't get me started on that. But yeah, they are triggering a lot of things in our body. And I'm so sorry that you felt that pressure that so many people did during, those few years when this was going on. And there's still a little bit of it going on now. And it's very heartbreaking because it's our body. We should be able to make choices for it, whether we want to do something or not to do something and not be forced into, well, if you want a job, you have to do this. If you want this, you have to do that. That's not the way things are supposed to be, but they are. So I'll move right along past that before I go on a rampage. But anyways, okay, so you get this and then your world just basically turned upside down. So what
So
did
like
you do from there?
I had like during the course of all of these symptoms, I went down to Maryland and I was with a doctor. I had to go out of the area. Doctors around here were very rude to me. Like they would say, like, you need a psych evaluation. What do you mean you can't feel things? Like you have tattoos all over your body. Like obviously you have feeling. And I'm like, what? Like that is not even relevant to why like I'm here. So I would travel like to Maryland. I met with this doctor who does both kinds of medicine. He does some holistic, some medication. And like I said, it was like peeling an onion layer, right? Like he would get me so far and then something would come up. He just got me to the point where he literally said, like, Demaree, I don't, it was like a lot of all those neuro symptoms still. He's like, I don't know what else to do for you. I'm really, really sorry. But I'm so thankful for him because he got rid of some stuff. He just couldn't get rid of all of it, right? Then I went to another
And
natural, all natural
so
doctor.
what type of treatments did you do with this doctor? Is that when you did the
Antibiotics.
antibiotics? Okay.
My
Okay.
primary care doctor would do like prednisone, small bouts of doxy, and I'd feel great until like the medication was done. And then, in her eyes, I didn't meet CBC or CDC criteria, so she's not gonna treat me for Lyme, right? Rheumatology initially kept declining my referral. They wouldn't help me. Neurology wouldn't help me. They said I needed a psych evaluation. I by the end of it, I did probably need a psych evaluation, but not at that moment, right? Like,
For
yes,
sure,
trauma
yes.
in anxiety do have to be addressed during if you're gonna get better. Like, you have to address your childhood trauma. For me, it was childhood trauma. You have to address that. Like that, there will come a part in my life where I had to, and that takes you the rest of the way. But the physical,
I'm
like,
so glad you said that,
yeah,
Demarie,
and I
because
didn't realize it at the time,
yes,
but
that is one of the that is one of the pieces that I think so many people miss to this healing journey. We get so hyper focused on let's kill Lyme, let's kill Lyme, let's kill Lyme, right? But we've got to kill Lyme. Detoxing is just as important. We've got to work on our nervous system. We've got to address mold, parasites, metal toxicities, go through the emotions, the grieving process, like we talked about, and then your blocked traumas. And so many times people say, oh, I had a great childhood. I didn't have any traumas. That's not necessarily what we're talking about. But in your case, you recognize that you had some childhood trauma. And thank you so much for bringing that up because literally just today, I did a free drawing on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page of one of two books, The Emotion Code or The Body Keeps the Score. And they are both fabulous books. Anybody dealing with this journey should truly check them out because they can really help and open up that piece that we could be missing, right?
And you don't know it. And even to this day, when people call me and they ask, and I'm like, okay, do you have any trauma in your life? And they're like, wait, what? Why are you asking me that? Because it matters and you have to address it. You may think that you've addressed it and you truly didn't.
100%.
You still have the symptoms, that there's something more that you need to work on.
So, of course, I want to move on to your switching over to holistic health during your Lyme journey. But if we can just take another moment on this, because it truly is such an important topic. So, you had mentioned that you had childhood trauma. So, how did you work through this trauma? What were the things or the tools that worked for you? And how do people know from your perspective whether they've worked through it or dealt through it? You said if you don't have any symptoms from it anymore, triggering or whatever it may be.
The last remaining thing that I just kind of thought I was going to live with, or maybe it was just going to take time, or maybe I was the best I was going to get was the numbness and tingling, which again would like be migratory, right? After I'll talk to you about like that big piece, the part that really brought me back to myself again. But I still had like this residual numbness and tingling that I couldn't get rid of. And I thought anxiety was like, oh, the ruminative thoughts, the racing thoughts, like, oh, you're like panic attack or your heart is racing. I didn't realize like numbness and tingling can also be like a sign of anxiety, right? So the what helped me that it's called parts work. I worked with a therapist. She helped me. Like, we would pick a situation in my life when I was younger, and I did a little therapy with Mike for a while, right? And I just started realizing how, like, doing marriage counseling kind of brought me closer to Mike. And then, like, from there, I realized that there were still parts that I needed to work on. So I did parts work. So you go back to a spot in your life where you had tremendous anxiety, and it's like me in this part of my life goes back and I'm looking at like Demaree as a child. And like maybe I would explain to her, well, like, what were you feeling? What is going on in your body? Okay, now what would you say to Demaree at that age? What would you do? And then I would then go over again with her and say, after like older Demaree talks to younger Demaree, it's kind of hard to explain. Now tell me what Demaree is feeling, and just kind of processing like that drowning feeling, that tightness in your throat, that like I want to run, and then like having me give advice to my younger self, like how did then the younger Demaree feel? Okay, well after you process all of those physical feelings and the mental feelings, then like okay, your body naturally like begins to relax, right? She also worked with me like my triggers are always probably going to be there, but they're not always going to be so strong. So sometimes a trigger just needs a different job, right? A trigger is meant to protect you. If someone taught, if a, because of my trauma has to do with like mental and like some physical abuse and domestic violence growing up, like if a man even would like talk to me with a tone, I'm gonna be like up in your face, right? Or like if you treat my mom bad, I'll drive to your house. I'll like go to jail. Like it was bad, right? Never was in jail, I just want to say that, but like it was like that rush, that see red, like protect, right? So I had to like address that and be like, oh, I don't need you anymore. I'm in a good marriage. I'm in a safe spot. I'm not where I used to be, but maybe you could sit and watch Demery handle the situation as an adult. Like maybe your job now is to sit down and watch me as an adult handle this because I'm a big girl now and I don't need you anymore. So like address the parts of you that haven't healed and give your triggers a new job.
Yes. Sorry. And I kind of put you on the spot because I know that that can be very hard to try to explain that. And of course, I can't think of what that is called. But yes, we're supposed to, you know, part of unblocking those traumas. And that's one of the great things the Emotion Code book by Dr. Briley Nelson kind of breaks down how to help unblock these traumas. But that is the one thing that, you know, therapists and things will tell you to do is kind of put yourself back into that time frame, right? Like, how did you feel, experience all the anxiety or whatever it brought you, right? The triggers out in you, and kind of reframe it. like come out with a new outcome of it, right? Like the outcome of it was what you learned for it, or how you would address it now, or how you would react now, kind of like give the trigger a different type of name or a different job. So kudos, you. I think you did that well. It's definitely a tough thing, but I just really wanted to highlight the importance of working on this during your journey, because like you said, Demarie, you're either going to do it during your journey or after your journey. I guarantee you're going to do it if you want to get well and stay well. It's the way it is. So you can address it early on or afterwards.
After,
You
and now I
choose,
have
but
like no
it's going to be
symptoms.
a part of your journey.
And now I have like no symptoms. Like I feel amazing. I only have symptoms when I'm stressed or, like, and then I have to, my body tells me like, oh, you got to reevaluate what's going on in your life, Demri. Is it stress? Like what are you doing? Did you eat something you shouldn't have? Like your body, you have
It's
to
kind
listen to
of
your
our,
body.
yes, our bodies are amazing and they are going to tell us. And sometimes they're just telling us to slow down, right? Like slow down, take a day off in your jammies, watch movies, whatever. Or, the flu's going to attack you. I don't know. Our bodies give us warnings and we need to listen to the signs that it's showing to us. So, anyways, thank you for being vulnerable and kind of breaking that down for us. So now let's kind of transition into thinking outside the box, right? Like getting a little bit curious and giving up maybe on the traditional Western medicine route. And so where did that lead you to?
Okay, so it was April of like it was in 2022. Like I said, shell of a person, barely functioning. I would go to work, but like at home, I was in a dark room crying, like just barely existing. And my mom was like, oh, like I know these people who went down to Florida to this clinic and they're doing so amazing. And I'm like, well, I'm not leaving my family. Like, I refuse to leave my family. I'm not going to a different state for like who knows how long and do this. Like, I'm just, y'all need to accept, like, I'm gonna die. Like, this is the end. Like, it was terrible, right? And my mom is like, you may not want to leave your family for 2, 3 months, but I refuse to lose my daughter forever. So we're going. My
Good
mom
for her.
literally like did all arranged all of this for me and was like, this is where we're going. Because my mom was a big part of my journey too. Mike was a big part of my journey and my mom was a huge part of my journey. So I went down to Florida, Clearwater, LifeWorks Wellness Center. Check it out. It's
And as always, listeners, I will put the information to the clinic that we are going to talk about in the description of this episode if you want to look into it. So, what was it
save
all
my life.
about? Was it you went down there for a few months? Was it an inpatient, an outpatient? You just needed to be close to the clinic and
It was outpatient. I was there. You're there for the duration that you need. I could have stayed a little longer, probably, and done a couple more treatments, and he wanted me to do that. But I only had so much time off from work, I had to get back. So I was there from April 4th, 2022 to June 23rd, 2022. April, May, June, 3 months.
and do you go to the clinic every day, like Monday through Friday, and do
It's outpatient.
treatments?
It's outpatient. I would drive there every day. I stayed in Port Richey. I have really great friends of mine who allowed me to stay at their place. And then we drove down every day,
Okay.
on most days, except for weekends. We don't do treatments on the weekend.
And so, what did your days look like at this clinic? Because I went to a similar type of clinic where it was outpatient. I went Monday through Friday. We do our treatments all day long. You go back to your own place, and yeah. So, what did your days look like at your clinic?
The first couple of days were just kind of like muscle testing and getting to know the doctor there and doing blood work. He does blood work before, in the middle, and then like if you need it at the end. So then his and then I did live blood analysis, and that
Oh.
was really, really cool.
Which, for the listeners, I will explain that briefly
Yeah.
because I did that as well. It's where, and tell me, Demarie, if they did this different at your clinic. It's where they take literally just a drop of your blood, they put it under a microscope, and they can put it up on a screen and show you. It's going to show all of your cells. It's going to show, I actually even saw my little spirochetes swimming around in my
Exactly.
cells,
I saw them
which
like swimming into
was.
my red blood cells. It was disgusting.
It really is crazy. Live blood analysis is one of the coolest things ever. If there's anywhere near you that can do that, it's amazing because it shows what your cells look like, right? Are they oddly shaped? Are they not round? Do they have allergies? Do you have, like, just so much can be shown in these blood analysis. So did you as well see the little spirochetes swimming around?
I did. They were irregular shaped. They were clumpy, like my red blood cells were clumpy. You could just see, and I was shocked. Like my toxin load was not bad. He checked everything because I tried to live very healthy and cut things out of my products and cut things out of my diet. But you could still see just like it looked like little piles of like garbage that migrated in the ocean. Like there would be like these little like piles of garbage, just toxin, right? Whatever was left in me. The parasites like literally swimming in and out of your blood cells. And then muscle testing. So like he did not do like Western blot testing or anything like that because he said it's not gonna make a difference to me and how I'm gonna treat you. I'm not gonna have spend the money and the time doing that. I'm able to see from your live blood analysis and the lab work that did come back and your muscle testing, like I'm going to treat you for Lyme, Babesia, mold, leaky gut. I mean, like I had a whole bunch of stuff that he was treating me for. And his thing is basically strip your body of toxins and rebuild your immune system.
Makes perfect sense, right?
Right? Yeah, he said with
But,
your
and that's the
therapeutic
way to
that
do
day.
it. So many people spend thousands of dollars to get these blood tests through an accurate lab, which I'll mention again, Igenix, Galaxy, or Armin. Like, those are my lab go-tos. But they're expensive, and they're right. And oftentimes we ourselves just need that validation. Okay, something really is wrong with me. I get that. But like you, Demarie, when we open w the world of muscle testing, like, it truly is incredible. And like your doctor had mentioned, you just said, I'm not going to treat you based on these blood tests. I'm going to treat you based on
Your
what your
system.
body is saying is wrong with it. And that is what muscle testing tells them. So it's my favorite thing. So, okay, sorry. I keep hijacking your show.
No, you're fine. So it was all holistic. I did IV Myers cocktails, which is like vitamins, IV glutathione. And so like in my area, none of that was up here at the time, right? Since coming back from Florida, we have all these clinics now that offer all of these things.
So they are getting, yes, more and more places are offering a lot of these, IV cocktails and different holistic treatments. And sometimes I think that there's a handful of them out there that we just don't see, right? Because it's not really in our world until we get exposed to it. And then a lot of them kind of seem to pop out of the woodwork. But it is nice to know that there are more and more of these clinics around.
Yeah, and it's expensive to go to these clinics. I understand, but it also is very expensive paying for antibiotics that are just destroying your immune system and your gut health and making you sicker. So, like, if you're worried about money, like, put your money where you're going to get like the biggest impact, right?
100%. Yes. So what were some of the big things that they did at your clinics? They're obviously, kind of getting rid of the toxins, which yay, you didn't have a high toxin load. Getting rid of the toxins, rebuilding your immune system, these nutritional IVs, and then did they have other modalities that you did? Did you do ozone? Did you do what types of things did they have there?
Ozone. I did hyperbaric chamber, which is amazing. I love hyperbaric chambers. I love glutathione. My body loves glutathione. Like if I take it now, like it's like Thank you for giving me more glutathione. Like, I can feel it. I love it. The paleo diet, but he actually took it further for me. I needed to be on AIP, autoimmune paleo. So my diet was very, very restricted. Scar therapy, injections, peptides, amino acids. Like, there's so much that I did. And people are like, well, what do you think was like the thing that helped you the most? And I'm like, I can't really answer that because I was doing so much at one time. I do think though, like coming home and not having all of that stuff right away, when I would go and do like I bought a sauna before I came home because I love sauna. It's how I detox. Because I did sauna when I was there. And then the IV and the hyperbaric chambers. Like I feel like when I would do some of them when I'd come back home, like I felt amazing again. Like if you start to like let stress creep in and it kind of will lower things a little bit, like coming home was an adjustment. I had to automatically go back to my job right away. I came home from Florida and 2 days later started back full time. Like there was a little like dip in my health when I first came back, which scared me because I just went through 3 months of this, you know, like getting better and feeling like a great person to coming home and kind of hitting a brick wall again. I just had to adjust, right? I came back to all the things that were traumatic to me. I came back to like all this responsibility, whereas in Florida, I just had myself and my mom to worry about. So now you're trying to balance kids, preparing meals for everybody. And like I said, I came back to, in Florida, it's so easy to be healthy, right? They have health food stores everywhere. They have all these clinics everywhere. And I came home to an area that didn't have that. Like in Florida, you can go to a paleo autoimmune restaurant that cooks the food that you need. You don't have that up
Wow,
here. You know what I
that's
mean? Like
amazing.
Florida is my happy place. Maybe someday I'll get to go back and live there permanently. Maybe. I don't know. I do visit every once in a while. I do go back. I met a lot of great people down there. I have been back to see them, and it was great. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like, and it is really hard to, especially on the social media platforms that, many of us are on. I see people say all the time, what got you well? Well, okay, do you want to know just out of curiosity, or are you trying to take my protocol and do it yourself? Because unfortunately, that's not the way Lyme disease works, right? There's not one answer to fix everyone. If there was, we wouldn't all be in the situation that we're in. So, yes, I agree with you. When you're throwing so many things at it, it can be hard to kind of know what your game changers were, right? Like, so one of my game changers was hyperthermia. I elevated my temperature. That was one of my game changers, and also ozone. But like you, I did so many things. There were so many pieces to this puzzle, and maybe they wouldn't have been a game changer had we not incorporated the other things that we incorporated. So it's
Yeah.
really hard to be able to, truly share a protocol with somebody and say, go do it. That's what got me well. And I think that that's where so many people online are misconceived by it, because it unfortunately is not the way that this journey works. Yes, it's great to have all these tools and to be familiar with them and know that they're out there. And maybe you want to check it out. But just because one person got well on something absolutely does not mean you're going to get well on it. You may, if that's what your body needs. So, and that again is why I stress so much about this muscle testing, because it's incredible. It's very individualized. And yes, I used to say blood doesn't lie, but obviously we know it does on some of these Lyme tests, right? Like the blood doesn't always tell the full truth, right? Like it tells what it can tell, but it's our bodies and our body's energy that people can read and understand what's really going on that's affecting our body. And that's why it's so incredible. So I love that. So you come back and you kind of have to shift your world back into the real reality, right? And go back to work and have children and deal with all the stuff. And so can we talk for a minute about, did you do any types of things to help regulate your nervous system? Because I know that, for somebody coming from that situation back home And then just having all these things thrown, your body's overwhelmed, you get overwhelmed. And a lot of times that is our nervous system that is screaming at us, right? Like it's trying to get back into that fight or flight mode. And I talk about this a lot because I think it's a big piece to our healing is our nervous system, whether you're sick or not. Like the life is tough, right? And it throws us all for a loop sometimes. So was there anything in particular that you can share with us, something that helped with your nervous system?
From life works, you mean, or just in general?
Just in general, yeah, either place, yeah.
I think like therapy, finding the right therapist. I've done therapy like here and there throughout my entire life. Also, I do take like medication every single day, like anxiety medication, like is part of my thing that keeps things at bay because anxiety for me and complex PTSD is like kind of comes in cycles. I notice like I would go off medication here and there and be good for like a year, and then like I have a hard time adjusting to multiple things changing in my life at the same time, and then I'd be like, oh, I have to go back on the medicine. So I did GeneSight testing because I've been on so many different meds my entire life to tell me what psych medications are going to like positively impact my life and have the least amount of side effects. Then I three medications came back as something for me to take. So I'm on one of them and I take that every single day. And as much as And then the therapy. I'm done with therapy because I've learned so much. I feel like I can navigate these triggers on my own and I know how to handle them and I've reassigned them new roles. But I don't know if I could ever really come off medication entirely. I do all kinds of self-help. I take care of myself. It's a priority. Like I never say no to my self-care, right? That is priority for me. I will
Good for
never go
you.
back to the person that I was before. Never, ever, 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 ever. I can't, and I don't want to. And I know that I don't have to. Like, as long as I do all of these self-care things.
Self-care is so important.
Yeah.
And,
So
you
self-care
know,
to take like Effexor. It's at the lowest dose. I'm not ever going to increase it, but it's enough to kind of like keep me steady because when the anxiety comes back, it can like flare me really bad, and I just don't want to deal with them.
yeah. And it's medication is a little bit of a touchy topic with me, just because, and I think it is for a lot of people. Like I did all this stuff. I did the opioids, I did the antidepressants, I did the anxiety meds. I didn't want to, but it was like I had to, right? So I believe that there's a time and place for everything for everyone, right? We're all so individualized. And during my journey, I was able to get off of everything, and I'm no longer on anything. But there's a time and place, and people know what your body needs. And so you know what works for you. You have the tools that you need to get you through that, right? Because we don't ever want our bodies to go back down and the pathogens to take over. And so it's a learning journey that you go on, and these are the tools that you get to walk away from, knowing your body better, right? And knowing so many more things that you didn't know along your journey. And again, we're all so individualized, and you know what works for you. And so kudos to you for being your own advocate and standing up for yourself, and knowing in your mind that this is who you are and that you never want to go back to that dark place, right? Because it's a dark place, and I it sounds like you went through the tough part of the journey, and you did the biggest battle, I think, is that blocked trauma and the emotion side of it. You can treat, you can detox, you can do all that, but if you miss those pieces, and Demaree, you've nailed them. You did all the therapies that you needed to do. You understood it. You worked through the hard things, right? Who wants to bring up these old traumas in our life, right? Like, we don't want to. We don't want to think about them, but if you don't, I don't think you can heal, right? And so for you to realize that and be open to it and do that work, like, More power to you. And that's gonna take you on to the rest of your life, like never having it be that bad trigger, right? Because you worked through the emotional side of it. So I seriously could have a whole episode on just that because I think it's so important. Well, what a journey you've been on. And Demaree, I know I'm gonna I know the listeners can only hear us, but I can see you here and I see that your husband is sitting next to you. And I know that your mother was one of your biggest cheerleaders, and I know that your husband was as well. If I can include him in here and maybe put you on the spot a little bit, I'd love it if you could just talk to me and the listeners a little bit. I know that when we're dealing with Lyme disease and going through this journey, like oftentimes we're so confused. We don't know what we're going through, right? Like we don't need know the type of help that we need. It's just a very confusing illness. It's a very isolating illness. And to be able to have somebody in our corner being our cheerleader. But from your perspective, what can you tell us about your dear wife's journey that she went through? How were you able to, one, like trust her and believe her, right? I think that that's a big piece that many people go through this journey and their family members do not believe that they're really sick, right? Like one day you can't walk, right? You're in bed, but then the next day you're fine. And it's really confusing. We get that. We as the patient don't really know what's going on either. And so for a family member to look at that, I'm sure it's very overwhelming and like, what can you believe? And yes, our family should just believe us, right? But it's got to be a tough journey from the caregiver, the cheerleader side of it. So I'm just, if you don't mind me throwing you on the spot, if you
No,
could
it's okay.
just maybe share with us a little bit of kind of what got you through this journey and how it was for you.
I mean, it's extremely difficult, and she, Demery gives credit for being the cheerleader. But if I'm being perfectly honest with you, at the be very beginning, it was difficult because, just like you said, the one going through it is dealing with the physical symptoms and everything. A lot of times, the spouse or the significant other, you can't see that stuff. So, and it's not that you don't believe them, but it's like, wait a minute here. This something just doesn't make sense. So when this whole deal, when the journey starts, it's extremely difficult for both sides. It's extremely difficult for the opposite partner not to trust, but it's like, so this is not where we just were. What is going on here? And then it kind of takes it. And it almost, this is really bad to say, but it almost starts to tear you apart because you just don't understand. There's a lot of things that just don't add up. They don't make sense to you. And I mean, I can't speak for if the roles were reversed, but I mean, being a male, and I came from a world of, hey, suck it up. And I think a lot of men come from that, hey, we just gotta suck it up kind of world. It doesn't work that way. Like you can try and do that for a period of time, but the time is gonna catch up with you. And I think it just kind of got to a point where I was like, whoa, okay, I have no choice here but to, I see what's going on. Now I really, really need to get a good understanding of what is going on here. So to a point, you get there and you feel bad because you should have been in that position the whole time and understood the whole time. It's extremely difficult for a significant other to go through it as well. I was like begging him to leave me, like
Yeah.
go find someone who can like be intimate with you. Go find someone who's not laying on the couch in so much pain and crying. Like this isn't fair to you, and I don't want this for you. Like I would beg him to like go get a girlfriend or like to leave me and go be happy. Like you're happy, you're healthy. Like go live life to the fullest. Like I'm gonna die.
Then you feel like you feel horrible once you get to the point where you are starting to understand and you're seeing more and more. Then you start feeling horrible
for all the previous times where you really either number one, in all reality, didn't take the time to like do your research or really understand it, you start to feel horrible. And then you're like, oh my gosh, this, what do we do here? Where do we go from here? Okay. Then this is what the other hard part is. Okay. Then when you get to that point, you start, okay, this is what you need to do. So then you're pointing things out. Well, then you try and do everything in your power to help that person get to where they are. And sometimes then you see it better than that person who's going through it at times. Or you see the onset coming on. And then to convince that, like, hey, this is what's going on. We need to do this or we need to do that. That's a hard thing to swallow, pill to swallow as well.
Yeah, I'm sure that is. And that was a really great description. I appreciate you elaborating on that because I have always used the term of they don't believe you, right? And you just said clearly it's not that you don't believe them, right? It's that it's too overwhelming, it's too confusing, and life is busy. You're not taking the time to truly understand what it is. But once you kind of accept the reality, right? Like it sounds like Demaree from the car accident to the COVID vaccine. Like she was sucking it up, buttercup, right? And then you get the vaccine and then there's no sucking it up. Like it takes you down. And you kind of just explain that, from a male perspective especially. And I think that that's really important to share from that side of it, because so many people in this journey, there's not more females that go through Lyme disease than there are males. It's just more females tend to be more vocal about it, if that makes sense, right? Because you're the big burly macho guy, that one, that's supposed to show no emotions, and unfortunately, that's kind of the stereotype, typical that we get, that you guys get labeled. And it really is unfortunate in this community, because I wish more males would speak up about this, because it is a real thing. It is a tough journey, and you can't just suck it up whether you want to or not. Like your body doesn't allow you to. So,
No, not.
and I love the fact that you brought up that you could see, right? So I don't know, I'll just throw out an example, but maybe, Demaree's brain fog was getting really, really good. And then all of a sudden, you can see it creep in. Well, when we have it, sometimes we don't know that we're having it, right? So, is that what you're meaning by that you could pick up on things and be like, okay, hey, Demaree, so I've noticed lately that, A, B, and C. And so you're kind of being her advocate as well, because she's too sick to be it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it starts with the small things, and then you get to a point where, like in Demaree's situation, it got to where you had to make that hard decision of going to Florida. Okay, we got to that point, and I said, listen, this is just something that you have to do. And as adults, and most people, I mean, one adults going through this, everyone has responsibilities. You either have kids, or you have jobs, or you have homes. Everyone has all these responsibilities that in your mind, then the forefront of your mind, it's, well, I have to take care of all these. Okay, yeah, that's great. But if you don't step back and take care of yourself first, you're not going to have the ability to take care of all the things that are relying on you. So to make the decision on Demaree said to, like, hey, you need to go to Florida. You really need to go. She's like, I don't want to go for 3 months. It doesn't matter. 3 months is going to go by fast. Like the 3 months now is it's going to pay dividends in the end. That self-care that Demri talked about is huge. Yes, everyone is busy. Everyone has their own lives that are always chaotic as adults. You're pulled in so many different directions, but you have got to take time, especially on the Lyme journey, whether it's 15 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is. You have got to take that time and do something for yourself that grounds you again or brings you back to neutral. It's very, very that itself now is extremely important. You have to do it.
Yeah, That and that's powerful, right? So obviously you guys have a family, you have children, and you know the again, stereotyping people, but the male goes out, does all the work, right? A lot of times the female goes out and works too, but then she does all the cooking and the cleaning and taking care of the kids and you know, all this stuff. So much lies on both partners. And for you being that partner, reminding her, hey, you know, it's been a little bit. I think you need a little bit of self-care for yourself. You know, go lock yourself in the bathroom. Go, you know, listen to some meditation. You know, whatever it is that works for you to recenter your body and kind of just take a step back and take a deep breath. And so for you as a spouse to be able to understand that, like, okay, it's mom's night off tonight because this is what she needs. Like, that is huge. That is powerful. And I'm only going to guess that your guys' relationship is probably even better than it was prior to this Lyme journey.
Oh, absolutely. Because if, again, if as a partner or significant other, whatever you may be, if you don't get an understanding of what's going on or even try to start understanding, it will literally rip your relationship apart. I'm telling you, it'll tear you apart if you do not even try to learn.
Yes, and unfortunately, I've seen it too often in this community that there's divorces and breakups and, you know, dissolution of just parents and children, just so many families and so many lives destroyed from this. And so to hear you say that is powerful. So if you could, I don't know, throw out a couple of tips or recommendations for somebody maybe going in this journey, maybe male to male, right? Like maybe there's a female out there listening right now and the husband's struggling to understand what they're going through or struggling to even know how to support them. What are a couple of things that you could help share with them that worked for you?
Number one, the biggest thing ever is patience. Patience, because you're looking at your partner or your significant other and you're going, what are you doing here? What's going on? Why are you not doing this? Why are you not doing this? I don't understand. Patience. Take a step back. Start looking, look big picture or ask questions. If you don't know, ask the questions. Okay, how are you really feeling? Well, I'm feeling this. Okay, yeah, you might feel that, but break it down for me a little bit. Take every situation and then start to slowly break it down piece by piece. That's how you will start to get an understanding of what is truly going on in that person's body and in that person's mind.
I feel like as the partner not sick, I think it would be important for you to join them on their like advocacy journey for themselves, like do the research with them, go to appointments with them because it is a very lonely place. And Mike was by my side at every time, every step of the way, but I still felt very, very lonely, right? Because he didn't have the medical knowledge that I had, so he didn't understand. There were moments where I felt like he didn't believe me or clearly understand. I sort of wanted him to read the books for me with me or to like do some of the research with me, but like, you know, so like I just feel making like they feel crazy already and just validate their feelings, validate the symptoms that it's real to them, right? It may not be something that you can see on the outside, but they're experiencing it and it's real to them. So you have to like validate them. You may not understand, you may not agree, but you can surely validate that person and what they're going through.
Absolutely agree. And I think from what you just said, Mike, is that have the patience, right? And then when you're asking them, because I get this from even just a friendship aspect. Your friends ask you how you're feeling. Well, do they really want the truth, right? Like we question ourselves, should I tell them, you know, oh, I'm okay, or it's a rough day, or because we're already like, that's all they ever think about is that we just complain about our health and we don't feel good. So I'm assuming as a spouse that when you're asking her how she's feeling, you really want the truth, right? Because you just said you need to elaborate a little bit more. Allow me to help you understand how you're feeling so that we can both understand together.
Yeah, and that and breaking it down piece by piece allows each person in the relationship or whatever it may be, it allows them both to get an understanding of how it is we can help or treat you and what exactly is going on. Because you guys said this before, Lyme isn't just a one across the board, oh, this is what everybody has. Everyone is different. It affects everyone different, and you have to approach every Lyme situation different. It's not a one fixes all. So breaking it down one thing at a time, and it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen by just sitting down and having one conversation. It's an over and over thing. There was numerous times where I knew something was going on, and I'd be like, "What's going on? I can tell. I don't. It's the same stuff over and over. I don't want to burden you with it." And I kept saying, "You're not going to burden me with this. This is how we break it all down. This is how we figure it out, and how we can move forward." So
So
breaking.
as a partner, right? The cheerleader, the supporter, is it helpful for you for her to really dissect it and break it down for you to understand more? Like, is that truly what we as the patient should be doing with our partners is when it's that time to sit down and have this conversation, and you're asking us wholeheartedly, how are you feeling? Is that really what you want to hear from us? Because that gives you a better understanding and a better way to be a better supporter to us.
Oh yeah, 100%. There's no question about that.
It is hard though sometimes as the patient, the sick person, to understand what's going on with yourself because it's like
And I think that
to
that's
break it down.
why, Mike, we can't always explain how we're feeling, right? Like it took me
And
4 years to be able
we
to
don't
tell
even
the
have the time.
doctor, okay, I think it feels like I have bone cancer. Like, but it took me 4 years to like come up with a description of how I felt because I really couldn't describe it. And I think that that's what Mike is saying is that you don't really understand, and what you're saying isn't making a whole lot of sense. So let's break it down more so that we can understand from both sides, so that maybe it even helps you, Demaree, to even understand how you're feeling. Because, like you said, we don't know. So many
Yeah,
times we don't know.
100%. And breaking that down, and okay, you have the person who doesn't really understand. Two heads are better than one. If they explain to you some certain way, and the other person can say, okay, well, this is what I'm picking up on, or then the light bulb sometimes comes on and goes, oh, okay, yeah, you know what, you're right. So you both kind of shine light on certain situations that one or the other may not have known at that particular time. But this
I
also,
love
that's where
it.
some of that patience comes into play too. Like if you sit down and you want to break all that stuff down and you ask those questions, you better be ready to sit there with some patience and figure it out. You've got to do that. If you don't use your patience, it's going to be extremely frustrating. It's going to be a long journey for you. So patience, patience, patience. Want to learn. You gotta want to learn, because if you don't, it's going to be a long road.
To see it like from their perspective, like I think men, just because like in our relationship, like the female was sick and Michael the male wasn't, so like Michael is a fixer, he wants to
Yes.
fix everything. Like he can't, you like you can't fix me, like okay, like I need to fix me. Like you can support me, you can listen to me, you can validate me, but like honestly the work has to come from the person who's sick.
Yeah, and
Absolutely.
that's a good one that I really kind of forgot about.
Fix you, but he can listen to you. Your spouse can listen to you. They can, be there for you, but they're not gonna fix you. And as a patient, like you can't expect them to either. Like you As sick as you are, the work has to come from you.
Yeah, that was where the patience came into play for myself, because I was getting very, very frustrated because I'm a fixer. I wanted to break this all down and okay, here we got it all broke down, almost like we wrote it all out on paper, and okay, this is how we're going to go about
It
this.
doesn't work
And
that
it didn't work that way.
way.
So it
One does
was
not work that way.
frustrating.
This is not like a house construction project, okay? Like, it doesn't work
But that's kind of what men know, right? That's how
that
they want to fix things and they want to break it out and, make your blueprint and unfortunately it's not that way. But I would think by truly kind of understanding how your spouse really feels, I would think would be more comforting to you to that you actually came up with it with an answer or some solutions of not a solution, but just how somebody is feeling, right? Whether it's the pain or the neurological or they feel like they're, outside their body or whatever it is, for you guys to work together to understand. And it may not make sense. It may still seem a little bit crazy, but for you guys both to be on the same page and, you can pick one thing that one person says and one thing that another person says, right? Kind of like network together and put those together and brainstorm on, okay, this is your response to how do you feel, right? Like we just came up with this together. That's got to be very, I would say comforting for the spouse or the caregiver. To kind of know and so that you can truly validate how they feel instead of just you feel like you're trying to guess them because you're not in their shoes.
Yeah, correct. And it helps with all the day-to-day priorities that you have. Like if you can know and have a decent understanding of how they're feeling that day, then you go, okay, hey, listen, tell you what, you go get a shower or whatever the case may be, and you just rest. I'm gonna take care of dinner, or you let your kids know, hey, listen, kids, this is what's gonna go on tonight. It helps with all the day-to-day processes if you have a better understanding of what's going on.
Perfect. I can't agree more with that because it's hard to understand. And I know that pushing ourselves through this journey can truly inhibit our healing. We've got to take time for ourselves, our body. We've got to listen to our body. But I also know life happens. You have kids, you have a job, you have all this. So to be able to have a partner and a spouse to be able to support you and understand what you go through. Like, thank you truly, Mike, for being an incredible husband to your wife during this journey because there are a lot of them out there, and I don't want to discredit that. But I hear so many times in this community of marriages not surviving. And so some of the tips that you just shared with the listeners, I hope that it's a really valuable tool for them. And Demaree, yes, you had an amazing cheerleader, right? In your husband and your mother. But like you said, we still feel so alone. It's so isolating because I too had an incredible support system, but I felt very alone. It's
And you felt
a
so guilty for becoming that person.
Yes, we do. And that's part of that grieving journey that we have to work through, right? To totally heal. So wow. Well, gosh, didn't know we were going to have a special guest, Mike. So I so
No, sorry
appreciate you.
about that.
No, I absolutely love this. I love this because we get to hear it kind of from both sides. And kudos to both of you guys for getting through this journey together and making it a stronger bond between you guys. And I'm sure just, what great mo role models for your children to look up to. So thank you so much for joining me and sharing your story. I truly appreciate you guys, and it's so happy for you, Demaree, that you just got your life back. It's amazing. I know it is, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Yes,
Thank you
thank
very
you for
much.
everything that you do.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.